We continue our learning. We're in Erev in Paragimel, Mishnah Gimel. Nisano be'ilon. Person placed the Erev in a tree, lamala me'asara tfachim. And the Erev is now sitting on a tree, and it's above 10 tfachim. And the tree where the Erev is sitting, that section of the tree is 4 by 4 tfachim minimum as well in width. So it's 4 by 4 tfachim wide. And it's 10 tfachim high. So that's a Rishus HaYachid. So now you're in Rishus HaRabim and you want to walk an extra 2,000 amas from the city's limits, from the 2,000 amas where you are. But the Erev is not accessible to you halachically at Ben Hashmashos because you're in a Rishus HaRabim and the Erev is in a Rishus HaYachid. So Ein Eruvo Erev. This principle is that the Erev has to be able potentially to be eaten in the place where you are being Konesh Visa, where you're trying to have this symbolic dwelling area. So when Shabbos begins, you would not be able to do so. So that's the Erev is not good. Lamata me'asar tfachim me'ruvei eruv. But here, let's say the tree branch where you placed it is less than 10 tfachim from the ground, then the eruv is an eruv. Now, if it's less than 10 tfachim from the ground, we've discussed something that's 4 by 4 tfachim wide and less than 10 tfachim high, let's say between 3 and 9 tfachim, that has the status of a karmelis. So a karmelis is not allowed to transfer an object from a karmelis to Rishus HaRabim and vice versa. So the answer, that's true, but this is happening all Ben Hashmashos. We know that the Eruv is Konesh Visa. You acquired the resting place during Ben Hashmashos. During Ben Hashmashos, we do allow, for the purpose of a mitzvah, we allow the violation of a din to Rabbanah. So that's why, so for example, we allow Ben Hashmashos. The person didn't like Shabbos candles. They need Shabbos candles. So you're allowed to ask your guy directly to light the Shabbos candles. Asking a non-Jew to do a malacha is an issur d'rabbanan, it is a shvus, and it's Ben Hashmashos, and for the sake of a mitzvah, that's allowed. Assuming you don't have electric lights that are already giving you the Shabbos light that's necessary. So here too, since the Erev is on a tree that's only a karmelis and you're a Rishus HaRabim, so for the purpose of a mitzvah and it's Ben Hashmashos, it would potentially be accessible to you to pull it down off the tree and eat it. Therefore, the Erev is effective. Nisano bibor. If let's say you put the Erev in a boar, in a pit, afilu amok mea ama. Even if the boor is 100 amos deep and 4 by 4 tfachim wide, and is a Rishus HaYachid, Eruve Eruv. The Eruv is good. Now, why is Eruvo Eruv? If you're in a Rishus HaRabim and that Eruv is in a pit, which is a Rishus HaYachid, that's a Torah prohibition to pull it out. So Ben Hashmashos, it would not be allowed and therefore not be accessible. And the Mefarshim explained that we're talking about where you're standing in a karmelis. When do we say that if you put it in a boar, even if the boar is a Rishus HaYachid, the Erev is effective, is when the area that you're talking about is a karmelis. And since people that do very, very deep boar normally would not be in a Rishus HaRabim, so we can understand that this case is probably a case of a karmelis, and that's why the Erev is an Erev, because it's only a din de Rabbanon, an Isser de Rabbanon, to transfer that Erev to where you are. And since it's Ben Hashmashos, so the potential of accessibility is there, is present. Nisano berosh hakaneh o berosh hakundus. Let's say you put the Erev on top of a reed or on top of a pole. So bizman shehu talush vina'utz. If the pole, the kaneh, the reed, is uprooted, and that's talush vina'utz, but it's then stuck into the ground. So it's not rooted in the earth. It's you pulled it out, but now you stuck it yourself. Afilu gavoa mea ama hareza eruv. Even if it's 100, this pole, whatever the reed is, 100 amos high, it's considered an eruv. The eruv is effective. Now, if the reed were really stuck in the ground, the eruv is no good. Why? Because there would be, after all, what's the reed, right? What are we afraid of here? So the concern is the reed. What kind of rishus is that? So if you're in a Rishus HaRabim, we assume that the pole or the reed, how thin is it? Very thin. It's not even a 4 by 4 tefachim wide. So what do we call that? Something that, is not even a 4 by 4 tefachim wide is a makom ptur. Makom ptur, there shouldn't be a problem at all. So why does the Mishnah seem to imply? The inference of the Mishnah is that if you have a an Eruv that is on top of a Kaneh. So when is it an Eruv? So it says, if it's Talush, if it's detached and then stuck into the ground. But had it been a reed that's really grown in the ground, then you wouldn't be able to do it. What's the difference between that? And if you're telling me that the tree, which is a Carmelis, is okay, then a reed, which is Makom Tor, certainly should be okay. Of course, it's accessible to you wherever you're standing, to transfer from a Makom Tor to the Rishus Sarabim and or in order to eat it. So the answer is, there's an additional Din Darabanan. There's a concern of taking something, the Eruv, off the reed, because I may break it off. The reed is very flexible, and the potential is there to violate the Malach of Kotzer. So because of that, and it's very likely it may happen, therefore we don't allow the Eruv to be placed there. Only, but that's where it's in the ground. But that's only true, number one, air where the reed is rooted in the ground. A tree, we don't have that problem. We said, because the reed, as we said, is very flexible. It would not apply to a tree. Nor will it apply to where you took the reed out of the ground and then you just stuck it in the ground. Because that's not considered mechuvah lekarka. If I would end up breaking off a piece of that reed that I happen to stick into the ground, it doesn't have the same status as that which is growing in the ground. We would not consider, I'm not violating kotzer. The same, I'm not violating kotzer when if I break off a piece of a flower that's sitting on the table and is not in the ground. So then, once again, Nisano v'Rosh HaKaneh, if you put the Eruv on the top of a Kaneh, a reed, or Rosh HaKaneh, just where these were uprooted from the ground and then stuck in the ground, so Bizman, Shehu, Talush, V'Not, Afilu, Gavo, Me'ama, Harez Eruv, then it's a good Eruv. In France, if it had not been detached and then stuck on the ground, if it were really growing the way it is, because it's a flexibility and the likelihood of it breaking, the air would not be effective because it would not be accessible because we're afraid you'd break off the reed. Nisano b'migdo. Let's say you place the air in a chest. V'avara maftech. And now you don't have the key. So you say, oh, you don't have the key. How am I going to get in? The only way to get in and out is, I'm going to break in maybe, says the Mishnah, Harei Zeh Eruv. So the discussion here, we have to recognize, if I'm going to violate a biblical prohibition, an Isser Doraisa, so then the Eruv is not accessible. And if I don't have the key, so how would I get this Migdal open? So the Gemara says in Naflam and Heman Aleph, that the way to understand the Mishnah is that in this, that this chest, this Migdal, this closet, whatever it may be, were being, and the lock itself of that were being held by ropes. I'm quoting from the Bar Tanur, Kagon, Shahaminol Kashur Bechutim Vechavalim, with threads and ropes, Shem Lo Yimtzaha Mafteach, Ef Shar Lechotchal El Besakin. The point it's making is, if I don't find the key, and we don't have a key here, so the only way to open this thing up is to cut those ropes with a knife. Okay, so why does the Tanna Kamma say this is an Eruv? Because this is only a Malacha Durabana. Cutting the ropes is what Malacha Durabana is it? So Malacha Durabana of Soser, of demolishing, the opposite of Bona. And therefore, it's not a problem because since it's only Durabanan, it is accessible because it's Bein Hashmash, it's not an issue. Now, why is it only Soser Durabanan? So one simple understanding is that we say that the principle of Ein Binyanu Stira B'Kalim. We're dealing with a Kli. When we talk about Bone and Soser, that's when something's attached to the ground. But if I have a Kli, Ein Binyan Sosa the Kalim. So it's very simple why this would not be Sosa de Oraisa. However, not all Rishonim hold that way. Rashi's of the opinion that Bona and Soser, the halacha of Ein Binyan of Istira Bekalim, the way to understand, we usually assume that there is no Binyan and Stira when it comes to a Kli. So this is a Migdal, this is just a Kli, and therefore there's no issue with removing the ropes, whatever, cutting the ropes. There's not going to be a problem of Bona. Now, there are Rishonim who claim that there is Bona and Sosa when it comes to Kalim. So that potentially this could be an Isser D'Oraisa. And the answer to that is it would not be an Isser D'Oraisa in this case because I'm not completely breaking it, or in Bona would be I'm not completely, if I build a kli from scratch or I completely demolish a kli, that's one thing. If I have ropes and then and that's the way I open up this kli, I'm not completely demolishing it, it's still only an Isser D'Rabbanan, even if you hold this binyan and stira b'kelim, it would not be an Isser D'Oraisa in this particular circumstance. You could have cases where it would be, but not in this case. And therefore, since it's only an Isser D'Rabbanan, it's going to be permitted, since it's ben hashmashos, the Eruv is going to be effective, even though you don't have the key. Rabbi Eliezer Omer, im eino yodeh shamavtech bimkomo, eino Eruv. If you don't know that the key is in its place, so then it's not acceptable. So the Bar Tura explains what exactly is the machlokas here between the Tanakama and Rabbi Eliezer. So he explains like this, I'm going to read. Tanakama, Sava, Tanakama holds, Hovil ve'efshel liftoach al yidei sheyachto chachavolim besakin, since you're able to open the thing up by cutting the ropes with a knife, Ein kan iser skila iser shvus. It's not an iser skila. It's not an iser derais. It's only an iser drabanan. Why? The mekalkel hu b'chatichas achavolim. You could argue you can leave out the ein binyan istir of a kalim at all. You could simply, I am doing something destructive to the ropes. V'chala mekalkelin b'turin. And since it's in an iser shvus, only drabanan and tmein hashmashos, at the time of the acquisition of the eruv when it's konesh visa, they didn't make exera. Fine, therefore it's considered a good Eruv. Now, Rabbi Eliezer Savar, oh, what's the problem? Ein kli nital elo letzorach tashmisho. You may remember back in Masech HaShabbos, we mentioned the opinion of Rabbi Nechemya, who says you're not allowed to take a utensil on Shabbos except for its primary purpose that it's used. Now, the knife, what do you mean knife? This is a food knife. So I'm allowed to use a food knife for this? Absolutely not, says Rabbi Nechemya. And Rabbi Eliezer would subscribe to that opinion. And therefore, va'asul etaltel hasakin kedei lachto chachavolim. Ah, why? Because I normally use the knife for food. So therefore, since what do I have here? Two isurim derabbanan. Number one, the mekalkel of cutting the ropes. And number two, the moving the muktza of the knife of a food knife, according to this opinion. So therefore, even though we normally allow a shvus and iser derabbanan ben hashmashos, here we would not allow, because it's tarti, it's two problems, as the Bar Tanura explains. Perek gimel mishnah adalet. Nisgal galo chutz latchum. So everything was great, put the eruv in its place, at the border of 2,000 amos, and now I'm able to walk an extra 2,000 amos. But it rolled. I put, a bottle of wine, let's say, enough for two sudos, and then the wind blew it, and now it rolled beyond the 2,000 amos. It's not within the 2,000 amos, close to my city. So, orv, enough, alalav gal, or let's say a heap of rubble or something fell on top of it, o nisraf, or it got burnt, o truma v'nitme, so it was truma, and that's fine. We mentioned truma, different opinions, but certainly v'kohanim, and maybe even v'sirelim, but now it's tame. So now it's not roy, it's not fit for anyone to eat. So, and this happened, mib'od yom, eino eruv. If it rolled past the tchum, so now it's not in the proper place, or there's this gal of avanim on top of it, and the only way to get it is to do an issur d'oraisa of digging through the rubble, so therefore it's inaccessible. It's nisraf, it's burnt, so it no longer exists. Or truma v'nitmeis, and therefore it's not edible by anyone halachically. So if this all happened b'bo yom, while it's ben hashmashos, then eruv. So the eruv is no good. Mishech hashecha, but if that eruv was there and kosher and accessible, etc., in its proper place, didn't roll out after in during ben hashmashos, and only rolled away or got burnt, etc., got tame, etc., after it got dark, hareze eruv. Then eruv is fine. It only needs to be kodesh shvisa, and only needs to be in existence during the ben hashmashos period. In Suffolk, what if you don't know? You came the next day, you knew it was a windy night the night before, you see the Eruv blew away, but moved beyond the Tchum. But you're there tomorrow. You don't know what happened. Bein Hashmashos. You put it in the right place. Are you sure that the wind blew? You know, it's like you wake up, the garbage cans are rolled somewhere. When did that happen? I don't know. I was sleeping when that happened. So do I know that it rolled away during Bein Hashmashos and the Erev is no good? Im Safek. So Rabbi Yehuda Omrim, Harei Zeh Chamar Gamal. You know what you are? You're a donkey driver and a camel driver. What does that mean? It means you're basically in between. It's a suffix. We're not sure. What is that? Why would he give that example? How do you guide a donkey? You stand behind it. How do you lead a camel? If you want a camel to walk, you hold it from the front. So if I have both, I have a camel and a donkey, what am I going to do? I'm going to walk in between. I have the camel walking behind me because I lead it from the front. I have the donkey walking in front of me because I guard it from the back. And what happens? So I'm trying to attend to both of them at the same time. Same thing when I have a suffek erev. What am I supposed to do? Well, I can't move forward much because the donkey is in front of me. And I have to make sure he's got it. I have the camel behind me, so I'm dealing with both. That's precisely what happens when you have a suffek erev. What is suffek erev? It means the following. Where do we know when I set up an eruv? So an eruv, let's say I put it at the end of the tchum. I don't have to do that, by the way. I can put it only 1,000 amos beyond, which will give me 2,000 amos more, which altogether is 3,000 amos, and then I only lose 1,000 amos in the opposite direction, not all 2,000 amos in the opposite direction. But let's talk about where I put the air over the edge of the 2,000 amos towards the east, because I want to walk an extra 2,000 amos to the east. What would that make me lose? All the 2,000 amos to the west. That's not normally the way it works. So now, what happened here? I put the Erev. Now, I don't know whether or not the Erev took effect. If the Erev doesn't take effect, so then I have 2,000 amos both to the east and to the west. If the Erev takes effect, then I have 4,000 amos to the east, and I have no, and I can't walk at all to the west. Here, I have a suffek Erev. So what do? I'm like the donkey and the camel driver. I am caught in between, which means I cannot walk 4,000 amos to the east because maybe my Erev blew out of the way or became tame or got burnt, etc. During the Bein Hashmashos period, and it never took effect. It was never Konash Visa, so I can't rely on that, and therefore I can only walk the regular 2,000 amos to the east. But I can't say, well, then I guess I can walk 2,000 amos to the west. I can't do that because it's possible that I was Konash Visa, and therefore I lost those 2,000 amos to the west, and therefore I'm stuck. I can walk 2,000 amos to the east and nothing to the west. Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Shimon Omrim, Safek Eruv Kasher. They say no, that you don't have to worry about that. You have a suffek Erev, assume the Erev is kosher, and you can walk your 4,000 amos to the east. Why? Because we follow Chazaka. What's the Chazaka? I'm not sure. What's the status quo? Status quo is there was an Erev there. The Erev is there. I have the right to rely on it. The Rashi on Daf Lamed Vav, interestingly, does not assume that that's pshat in this Mishnah. That suffek Erev kosher based on the Chazaka. Why? Because there's another Chazaka that conflicts with this Chazaka. What's the clash? Yes, there is a status quo that the Erev food is in the proper place. It's intact. But there's also the status quo Chazaka of the Tchum, which means that the Tchum is, we assume that you only have 2,000 amos, unless you can prove you have more than 2,000 amos. So there's a clash between the two chazakos. The reason why Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Shimon say suffek Erev is kosher is simply because the whole din of Erev Tchumen is only a din de Rabbana, and therefore we have the right to be lenient by a case of suffek. And then the Mishnah concludes, Am Rabbi Yossi, Av Tulmos, Heyed Mishum Chamisha Zekenim, Al suffek Erev Shekosher, Av Tulmos, testifying in the name of 5 Zekenim, that a suffek Erev is kosher, and therefore the halacha follows Rabbi Yossi.